Welcome to Lockdown Trivia. I'm Dalton McGee, and I'll be your host for this trivia podcast game. Playing with their own expert categories, players will try to unlock their brain one key at a time, but will they unlock it all? This very special episode of Lockdown Trivia is our Season 1 finale, and we'll have 3 weeks off before Season 2. However, you can still sign up for future games. All you need to do is click the link in the description of any episode and submit 4 expert categories in your favorite music genre. Solo, competitive, and cooperative modes are all available, so come play alone or with a friend. Stick around at the conclusion of this episode for a bonus question and for a look back on the researching and writing of this game, but also stick around for some extra content, because we're going to be looking back at Season 1 as a whole, looking forward to changes in Season 2, and sharing our findings from a study I did during Russ's online pub trivia on Tuesday nights to see if the Meta AI Ray-Ban glasses are capable of playing pub trivia themselves. Lots of great stuff in this one. I'm excited to get started. Playing this week is Russ Friedwald from Springfield, Illinois. Russ's expert categories are number one hits of the 1980s, the AFI's 100 best movie quotes, stage names, and game show hosts. Stick around for that and more on this very special season-ending edition of Lockdown Trivia. All right, Russ, I'm extremely glad you're here. I appreciate you playing along and jumping through my hoops as I have jumped through yours.
Mm-hmm.
So where would you like to begin your game of Lockdown Trivia?
Oh, boy. Yeah, good question. Let's go with the movie quotes.
All right. The AFI 100 best movie quotes. I'm going to tell Russ the year the movie came out and the quote. He will try to identify the correct movie. Here is your first clue of your game. Mm-hmm. 1980. Shirley, you can't be serious. I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
I'm just named the movie, right?
That's all.
Okay, that's Airplane.
Yes, I figured that would be a sweet spot for you. You finally have a key after all this time waiting.
After all this time waiting, I'm no longer keyless.
We'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah, who knows? Let's stick with the quotes for the one key that I have.
All right, here is your one key movie quote clue. 1971. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
That would be Dirty Harry Callahan in Dirty Harry.
Dirty Harry is correct.
And there are ways to mix those up.
Yes. And I will say it only gets older from here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes.
Well, let's stick with movie quotes for two keys then.
Here is your clue. 1962. Bond. James Bond.
Well, it happens in several movies, but the 1962 is coming in handy there. That's going to be the first James Bond film, Dr. No.
Dr. No is correct. Yes, the year important there. That's why that wasn't an unlocked question, because you can get tripped up if you just jump into one of them.
Yeah.
Doing well so far. No, you know your movie quotes. Nobody's surprised by that knows you.
Let's go three key question for movie quotes.
Here's your clue. 1958. Life's a banquet and most poor suckers are starving to death.
That is... Oh, God. 1958. Life is a banquet. I know this.
Thankfully, it's just like your show. I'll sit here all night if we need to.
Oh, good. We might. Now... The problem here is I'm trying to remember if a word is included. I'm just going to include it. Is this anti-MAME?
Which word were you going to not include? Yeah, anti-MAME is correct, Russ.
Okay, good.
Well done. Now, my question is, have you seen that?
I have seen... No, well, actually, I've seen MAME... The stage production, but not the movie.
Oh, you know what? I guess I kind of thought that they might have something to do with each other. I didn't realize they were the same story.
I'm not even sure that's true.
But, no, I'll look that up.
Yeah.
Well, four keys, Russ. That's the driver's seat for this game. Do you want to finish the category or be chaotic?
I haven't really thought about the strategy once we get to this point.
Russ is like, I know I need to answer questions right.
So I have four keys.
Yes.
Technically, I could go some other place. let's just wrap up the quotes.
All right. Here's the hypothetically hardest quote in the category. Your clue is this.
Yikes.
1930.
Jeez.
One morning, I shot an elephant in my pajamas. How he got in my pajamas, I don't know.
Well, it's a... I was unfortunately taking a drink of beer when you popped that one on me. That is Groucho Marx from Animal Crackers.
Animal Crackers is correct. Yes, that's one of my favorites on the list for sure.
Yeah.
Wow. Russ, you swept your AFI movie quotes category. Well done.
Well, that's the one that I thought I probably had the best chance of sweeping. So it's all downhill from here.
Where to next? Choices to be made now.
Let's do... If it was the other way around, if you were naming the song and I was naming the artist, no problem.
It's that Twin City Trivia programmed brain.
We could fly through the 80s. Zero problem. But I'm really worried about this format. So let's just go with Billboard number ones of the 80s for the unlocked question. We'll see how it goes.
All right. Here's your unlocked. It's a little litmus test on what the difficulty will be here.
Yeah.
Your unlocked question is this. Originally on a 1982 album, the 1987 re-recorded version of what song featuring Tawny Kitaen in the iconic music video was Whitesnake's only number one hit?
Oh boy. See, this is what I was worried about. The Tawny Kitaen thing, I remember the music video very well, but which Whitesnake song was it? It's unlocked. But if I miss an unlocked question... All my keys go away.
Yeah, right? Only the bonus questions will not hurt you.
Oh, okay. Should have flown through those. Let's just guess. Here I go again on my own.
Yeah, I'll accept that. Here I go again is all it is. But yes, that is. I think I'll be a certain amount of generous when it comes to saying titles, the rest of the line.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Yikes. This is scary now. Let's do Billboard for one key.
All right, your one key Billboard question is this. The first number one hit of the 1980s was what song that was more of a ballad as opposed to the five number one disco songs the band had in the 1970s?
Yeah, oh boy. Okay. This would have been so much easier the other way around. let's go. The song that I'm thinking of, I don't know that I could name five disco songs that this... I'm thinking Casey and the Sunshine Band for the artist and trying to get some feedback from your face as I say that.
I will give none. I'm not drunk enough to give it away yet.
And I know that they had a number one early in the 80s with Please Don't Go, which is much less of a disco song. So I will guess that.
And you will get another key, Russ.
Oh,
that is correct.
And if that's the one key question, we're dead.
Russ, you have plenty of keys to do whatever you want.
Let's just do the two keys in Billboard.
We're going to climb up. Here's the two key question. Known to RuPaul's Drag Race fans as the Rose Petal Reveal song, what 1987 Whitney Houston song had a music video showing her performing on stage at Lehigh University?
Oh, no. There go the keys. Performing on stage at Lehigh University. 87, Whitney Houston. I don't know. But I will guess around that time, she had number one with... now it's going to be another one of these parenthetical song titles. I will guess I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Unfortunately, for the first time in the game, I'm going to have to take your keys, Russ.
Yeah.
This is so emotional.
Okay. Well, that's another song by Whitney.
It is another song by Whitney. First time in the game you've missed a question.
I have no
all
keys.
All things considered, you're doing quite well, but you are correct.
I'm
you
keyless.
Have no keys. You have plenty of places to start your game back up, though. Where do you want to go?
Well, let's try stage names.
All right. In this category, I'm going to give Russ the real name of a person and the backstory for how they came up with their stage name.
He will try to
tell me their more famous stage name.
Yeah.
Here is your unlocked question. Ashley Frangipane. She rearranged the letters of her first name because, quote, Ashley didn't deserve to be famous.
This means that I've been pronouncing Ashley's last name incorrectly every time I've asked this question.
I could have also just said it wrong. Don't give me any authority on that last name.
I think I've been pronouncing it Frangipani or something like that. But this is Halsey.
Halsey is correct. Yes. I think that's I think that's a goofy backstory.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's only so many famous names you can make out of Ashley.
Ashley. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. You got your key back, Russ.
Yeah. Let's keep going with stage names.
All right. Your one key question. Excuse me. Your one key clue is this. Peter Gene Hernandez. Yeah. He named himself after a wrestler and because girls said he was out of this world.
Oh, yeah. That is Bruno Mars. Is Bruno Sammartino or something like that? Maybe?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. Wrestling is one of those categories I check out and hand somebody a pin.
Right.
So, all right. Two keys. Where to?
Stay with stage names.
All right. Here is your next clue. Christopher Edwin Breaux. He named himself after one of his favorite classic singers and one of his favorite movies starring George Clooney and Brad Pitt.
Oh, okay. So this would be then Frank Ocean.
Frank Ocean
Frank Sinatra
is correct.
And Ocean's 11.
Yep, that's his favorites.
Yeah.
That's
probably going by the Frank Sinatra version of the movie then too.
Yeah.
1961.
All right, Russ, three keys.
Let's keep going with stage names.
Your next clue is this. Elizabeth Woolridge Grant. Her name was inspired by one of her favorite actresses and the name of a sedan.
Oh, really? Oh, boy. Maybe this is not who I'm thinking then. I don't know why, but when I think... Oh, I could be wrong. But as soon as you said the name... What came into my mind was Lana Del Rey. And now I'm not going to be able to get anything else into my mind. So I'm just going to say that and perhaps lose my keys.
Russ, you will not be losing your keys.
Oh, okay, good.
The Ford Del Rey.
Oh, I did not know about the Ford Del Rey.
Was the vehicle she named it after. Lana Del Rey is correct.
All right.
Shout out to Russ knowing that just because he knew her name and then almost getting talked out of it by the rest of the clue.
That's one of those things. When you write a lot of questions about stage names, you just, the real name and stage name kind of just pop together.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. Would you like to finish this category?
We might as well.
All right. Here's your four key question, and it's a clue. Amanda Lee Rogers. Her name was inspired by a Shakespearean character and trying to sound exotic to break into Hollywood at 15 years old.
Amanda Lee Rogers, I think. Hang on. I think I know this.
He says I
thought
do
of
know it.
Yes. All I had to do was lean back in my chair and look at the ceiling for a minute. This is Portia de Rossi.
Yes, it is. The better half of Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah.
Yep, that is correct. Apparently, she just thought de Rossi sounded famous.
Yeah. It does. Does it not?
Yeah, it does. Russ, you have plenty of keys. Now, the question is, do you want to go back and try to tackle those remaining Billboard questions, or do you want to go to your game show category?
Here's the problem. I don't know. I don't know what would be the best play. Let's do the Billboard. Why not?
Three or four first?
Oh, I do have... let's do the... let's go four first. That way, if I miss it, I only need three keys to get that last one.
There we go.
Ah, look at that.
Your four key Billboard number one hits of the 1980s question is this. Spending 1 week at number one in 1986, what song actually has the title of the song within the name of its group?
What song from 1986 actually has the name? I've got to go through all the songs from my... All the songs from my seventh grade year of school. I don't want to lose these keys again. Let's go. 86. I was 13 years old. Help me, ceiling.
It has helped before.
Oh, God. 3 hours later. I don't know if this ever... hit number. I don't know how high in the chart it got, but I know this would work as far as your clue, and it's around the right time. I'm gonna say you're looking for the name of the song, right?
Yes.
How about Human by Human League?
That is correct, Russ. Wow. Well done.
Oh, my God.
Human by the Human League.
Wow.
Spent 1 week at number one in 1986. There you go.
Okay.
Well Ooh. Done.
Oh, I'm literally pitting out right now.
Well, you know what? That two key question in the category sucked, but you got the four key questions, so consider yourself redeemed.
Okay, good.
Where to?
Now what, though? Let's do the unlocked. No, that would be dumb, right? Strategy. Let's do the... Oh, that's terrible strategy. Let's do the four key game show hosts.
We're jumping into the deep end on our game show hosts.
Yeah.
In this category, I'm going to ask Russ to identify a famous game show host by all the other things they did in their life.
This is impossible.
Here we go. This is the hypothetically hardest question.
Because when you think game show hosts, you really think about their outside lives.
Yes, exactly. Here's the question. What longtime host was a radio analyst for the New York Rangers for one season?
No.
And raised nearly $1 billion in charity over the course of his life.
I don't know this is true, but he hosted many, many game shows over a long career and did a lot of things in New York. Thinking of the New Year's Rockin' Eve. I'm going to guess, and I'll probably lose my keys here, but Dick Clark.
Dick Clark is a really good guess, to quote what you tell me on Tangents. That's an excellent guess.
It's a good guess.
This is Monty Hall.
He worked
for the New York Rangers for a year as an analyst.
Yeah.
So,
Monty Hall. Okay.
There you go.
Well, let's make a deal and I'll get those keys back.
The deal is I'm taking all of your keys and you're going to get more correct answers to get them back. Yes.
Sure. Well, we'll
see you can jump back into the easier side of this category if you'd like next.
Let's do that. Unlocked.
All right. The unlocked game show host's question is this. What game show host hosted Truth or Consequence for 18 years before his larger gig of 35 years and was a staunch animal rights advocate?
That's Bob Barker.
Yeah, of course, Bob Barker. Didn't he end every show with something about pets?
Yeah, have your pets spayed or neutered.
Yeah, there you go.
Help control the animal population.
Russ, you've spent very little time in this game without a key in your pocket.
Yeah.
So, where to?
Well, thanks for jinxing me. Let's go for one key game show host.
Here's your question. What best-selling author of Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man has, since starting in 2010, now hosted more episodes of his game show than any other host before him?
Oh, wow. 15 years. Not nearly enough for Drew Carey to have overtaken Bob Barker. It's 2010. Has Steve Harvey hosted Family Feud that long? I can't think of anything better, so I'm just going to guess Steve Harvey.
Yeah, it's because there is no better answer.
Okay, that
is correct. All yes. Right. Steve Harvey is officially, he kind of has the Arnold Pineda and Journey syndrome.
Yeah.
Where Arnold Pineda has been the lead singer of Journey longer than Steve Perry.
Yeah.
Steve Harvey is correct. And you have two keys now.
Well, let's burn them on the two key question.
All right. Your next question in game show host is this. What U.S. Marine Corps veteran and minority owner of the Seattle Sounders Football Club acted in a sitcom and hosted another show before landing his game show gig?
Yeah, the Marines thing here, I think, is the clue that's tilting me towards Drew Carey. And then the sitcom would be the Drew Carey show. And then what did he host? Another show. Oh, Whose Line Is It Anyway? Let's try Drew Carey.
It was going to hurt me if you didn't come up with Whose Line Is It Anyway. Yeah. It's one of my favorite TV shows ever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Drew Carey is correct. I didn't know he was a Seattle Sounders minority owner. And apparently they say that he is an incredible owner and he is very involved in all kinds of degenerate fun stuff over there.
Oh, very fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Three keys. Yeah, it does check out. Yeah. I just didn't expect him to be a soccer fan, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Three keys, Russ. You do have a choice.
I do. Now, I will say this. The game show hosts are playing a little bit easier than I thought they would, and the billboard of the 80s is playing a little bit harder than I thought. I don't know strategy-wise what to do. So let's do the... let's flip a coin. Go 80s.
Oh, billboard number one hits. Here is your question. Your three-key question. Dethroning Richard Marx's is right here waiting was what descriptively titled Paula Abdul song, her last to top the charts in the 1980s.
Oh my God, this is hard. This is going to be, so I can start eliminating titles. Okay. So when you say descriptively titled, you're just thinking like something with an adjective in it, maybe. Right?
The title of the song is describing something.
Describing something. Okay. I think that helps a little bit. Marx. What was the Richard Marx song?
Right Here Waiting was number one right before this.
All right. Let's just go with my first instinct. And I'm not sure this was the last... You said this was the last one she had.
Of the 80s.
Of the 80s. I'm not... Egads. Because, okay. So then there were some in the 90s too. This is not going to be right then. But I'm going to say... Is it... Cold Hearted Snake?
I'm going to take Cold Hearted as correct. Yes, okay. That is correct, Russ.
Oh, my God.
That's my favorite Paula Abdul song. That had to be in the category there.
Oh, my God.
Cold Hearted, yeah.
I can't feel my fingers.
I know. There's an ointment for that, Russ.
Yeah, oh, my God.
The Cold Hearted Snake will join with, what was the other one? Here I Go Again on My Own. Let's tell the whole line, but it works.
Yeah. Okay, good. I think if you give more words than necessary, it's okay. If you don't get enough, there you go.
Yeah. Does that happen a lot when you host at Anvil? Do people write long words? Yeah. All right. Russ, there is a clear and obvious choice to be made here.
So in this case, we have to go. Can we, if I go with the three key question and get it wrong?
It won't matter because you can go to bonus keys at any time. You can go to bonus keys first, and it won't matter because you can't lose keys.
I still get to hear the
You will.
The,
you will officially key. Get to ask every question on the board.
Oh,
well done.
Okay, good. Let's go to the three-key game show host then.
Here is your question. What author of Memoirs of an Unfit Mother hosted her most famous show for 12 years and is now dating Queen Camilla's ex-husband?
Wow. Okay. What's the name of the book again?
Memoirs of an Unfit Mother.
Now dating Queen Camilla's ex-husband. Listen, I don't know the answer, but there is a Brit clue in there, and the British female game show host that I can think of is Anne Robinson. So that's what I'm going to go with.
Russ, you are not the weakest link.
Okay,
that is correct.
Good. All right. That's very well clued, by the
Thank
way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Russ, it's a game of bonus keys now.
All right.
You have got 18 out of 20 of your expert category questions, which is a wonderful performance.
Okay.
And now it's a matter of what our final score will be today. Where would you like to go first?
How do I get the highest score? I don't know. Let's try winning the world.
All right. And this, I will give you three key events of a year. You'll try to identify the exact year they happened.
The exact year. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is not going to happen. I'm terrible at these.
These are tough.
Yeah.
The Soviet Union shot down a Korean passenger plane, killing all 269 people aboard.
It's a real downer, Dalton.
Yeah. I think it's better. The Motorola DynaTAC 8000X becomes one of the first commercially available mobile phones.
Okay.
And Mario Brothers debuts.
Mario Brothers, not Super Mario Brothers.
Mario Bros.
Mario Bros. Okay. This is just a guess. 1980. True. 1982.
As has unfortunately happened a number of times in this year off, Russ. It is 83 that these all happened.
I was halfway between 82 and 83.
I heard the two.
Yeah.
All right. Didn't get that one, but what bonus question next?
Let's just keep going across National Blank Day.
We are celebrating, as of recording, National Volkswagen Day. A good time to tell the listeners that for future Lockdown Trivia episodes in Season 2, we will schedule it so that this question will be the National Day as of airing, not as of recording. But Russ gets the last as of recording question.
What an honor.
Here it is. Originally designed to be the successor to the Beetle, what Volkswagen model has itself sold over 35 million units worldwide and redefined what a small car could be?
A small compact Volkswagen car. There are a couple of options that I'm thinking about. There is the small sedan-like version, which is would be their Jetta. And then there is also a hatchback that is the Golf, or in some markets, the Rabbit. I will say the Golf, just because hatchback situation.
I'm glad you picked up on the successor to the Beetle clue. That is correct.
Yeah.
The Volkswagen Golf. I didn't know the Rabbit is what it's called in other places.
Yeah, well, I think, in fact, and I'm not sure those are the exact same model, but I think you can still get a Rabbit in some places.
Fair enough. Russ, you got your National Blank Day question, right? You want to continue just going across the board?
Yeah, let's do it. Before and after.
Here is your before and after clue. A cooking show that succeeded its original Japanese version, starring Bobby Flay and Michael Simon, among others. Plus, the airline company headquartered in Dallas-Fort Worth, that is the largest airline in the world in terms of number of passengers carried daily.
All right. So, the first part is going to be Iron Chef America, which leads me to believe that the second half is probably American Airlines. So I'll say Iron Chef American Airlines.
Iron Chef American Airlines. One thing I love, one thing I will not get on a plane with, probably. Big Southwest guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, Russ, two left. And as of right now, no pressure.
My boy.
If you get these right, you'll tie the record.
Well, that's not going to happen, because deep cuts is not going to happen for sure. So whoever has the record, you're safe. Who is it, by the way?
It's actually Brandon and I.
Oh, of course it is.
So
it
could be
a
massive conspiracy, considering we're
It is a massive
games.
Conspiracy, yeah. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Okay, those don't count, and I am the winner. deep cuts.
Let's see what we got. Here are five songs from the first album of a major 80s band or artist. We'll see if you can figure out which artist that is. Five songs are Roulette, She Don't Know Me, Love Lies, Breakout, Burning for Love.
Okay. Breakout. Sounds familiar. But the Breakout, I think, and you said major artist, right?
Yeah, this is.
It's
not going
to be like Swing Out Sister. Okay.
Nope.
Let's go. This hurts. I have a couple of these rattling around in my brain, but there's a lot of territory to cover here.
Yeah. Not to mention that everybody in the 80s sounded adjacent to each other.
Right. 80s. Okay. Let's guess an 80s artist with those five songs on their debut album. 84. Once again, the ceiling fails. Breakout. I don't know. I'm going to guess, hearkening back to the Frank Ocean question, I will guess Billy Ocean. 84 seems like a good time for him.
It also would be a great time for, and what if I said Shot Through the Heart and Runaway
were
on this album?
Oh, you got to be 84? I thought, yep. I thought Bon Jovi was earlier than that.
Yeah, I checked 84 and then 85, and he just kept going. But 84 was the self-titled album.
Oh, Runaway. Was Runaway on that?
It was the first track.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Bon Jovi, the correct answer there.
Yeah. If you said Runaway, I would have gotten that right away.
Yeah. Well, why would I do that? that is leads us to our last question, our Stormy trivia question. And Russ. Yes. You're from Illinois.
Suddenly, it's very strong. I am from Illinois.
Yeah. So,
I'm not from Illinois, but I live here.
Where are you from?
I was born in Missouri. I've lived in Pennsylvania and Tennessee, but
You also have lived in Tennessee? Who was
I lived on the west side.
Ian Schulze has lived in Tennessee, too.
Yeah.
All of us.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Russ, anyway, you're from Illinois. That's all you need to know. Here's your question for Stormy Trivia.
Yes.
What Polish nobleman, sometimes called the father of American cavalry or the soldier of liberty, met Benjamin Franklin in Paris in 1776 before coming to America and joining in the fight against the British?
Yes. As Sufjan Stevens could probably tell you, in Illinois, we celebrate Casimir Pulaski Day. This is going to be Casimir Pulaski.
Yeah, I think other people, if they're not from Illinois, just said, what the hell is he talking
right,
about?
Yeah.
But the Polish population of Chicago has made all Illinoisans aware.
Yes,
of Casimir Pulaski Day. Well done, Russ. Yeah. Hey, 21 points is higher than almost everybody else that's gotten this game. So well done.
Well, thank you. It was fantastic, Dalton. Congrats on your success with this podcast. It's amazing. I love to listen to it. Even though I'm not, I don't feel like I'm very good at it when I play everybody else's games.
Yeah.
But if everybody would just from now on pick movie quotes, stage name, game show hosts, and Billboard number ones of the 80s.
Russ would enjoy himself.
I would love this every week. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you think the rest of us feel when somebody goes down the 1600s rabbit hole in tangents?
Exactly. Exactly right. Yeah. Nobody does that, though.
Yeah, nobody has yet. I'm convinced. I honestly feel like next time I end up on tangents, if it pops up, I have to do it for the memes because everybody has said no so far.
Now you have to.
Yeah, I've
Lock
said it.
Lock it in.
Russ, thank you for being the season finale of season one. It means a lot to me. I look up to you a lot. And
thank you.
I honestly, like what I know about trivia has come from being in the Twin City Trivia ecosystem. And
well, I'm sorry about that.
I will say that I've saved being sentimental for now. I think that you have probably impacted far more lives than you're aware of just by your love and competency in the trivia realm. And I actually feel a tangible impact on my life because of what you did with Twin City Trivia and what you continue to do. So thank you for everything you've done. And there's going to be a lot of me's in the future. You know, you're going to get old.
I already am.
Yeah. And people will continue to carry the torch. And I write like I've learned from you and from Brandon, and sometimes better than others. Thank you for everything you've done. And I wish you success in tangents moving forward as well. There's change is coming.
Change is coming. Yeah, that's right. Episode 100 coming up pretty soon. So we will be making a couple of strategic changes to the format. So stay
Speaking
tuned.
Of that. What do you want to shout out? What's coming up? What's going on in your life? End of July.
End of July. I will be well into the 100s episodes wise by then, I think. Into the 90s. But we will have recorded into the 100s. So I will be at SporkleCon in Chicago. So if anybody's going to be there, look for me. I'll be wearing the Tangents t-shirt.
I'll be wearing a Lockdown Trivia t-shirt I have just finished my my deal with that.
Nice.
Anything else going on aside from catch you at SporkleCon?
This will be my first fall without football in the last 15 years. So who knows? The world is my oyster. Be doing a lot of fundraisers in the fall, I'm sure. But looking forward to traveling and doing some other stuff. So.
Congrats to Jack on graduating and moving to Schaumburg, if I'm not mistaken.
Schaumburg, yeah. Can't wait.
So we're not going to have many Jack and his dad trivia games anymore.
No. Well, maybe remotely. We'll see.
Maybe. Yeah. All right, Russ, thank you so much for playing, and we'll catch you on a future episode of Lockdown Trivia, hopefully.
Sounds good. Thanks, Dalton.
What a fun conclusion to season one. Thanks again, Russ, for being on this episode. And I want to thank everybody for listening to a wonderful season one of Lockdown Trivia. As promised, we're going to get to a bonus question and we're going to get to a reflection on this episode. But I think that we have put together a lot of great lessons and a lot of learned things from this whole season to bring Russ an awesome episode and to bring you more great Lockdown episodes moving forward into season two and season three, which is already being scheduled right now. A labor of love and a great opportunity for great trivia moving forward. I do want to talk about this experiment that we've done recently regarding the Meta AI Ray-Ban glasses. I got a pair of these as a gift from work, and I reached out to Russ and said, hey, I want to play one of your online trivia games and see how they do. I will honor whatever they say the answer is, and we're going to go for it. Unfortunately, in a 42-question format, they only got 3 questions wrong. Fortunately, they didn't win anyway because I don't think they're going to beat good team environments. If you're curious, the questions the glasses got wrong were this. The neighborhood familiar to fans of Mr. Rogers in the 70s, 80s, and 90s can still be seen on PBS thanks to an animated series centered around which puppet character from the original show. The glasses, for context, I take them and I looked at the question and I said, hey, Meta, look and tell me the answer to this question. And what the glasses do is take a picture of what's in front of them and analyze it. The glasses said the correct answer to that question was Lady Elaine Fairchild, which is obviously not correct. The correct answer was Daniel Tiger. And so that was the first miss of the night. The second miss of the night came when they were asked the hometowns of fictional characters like George Bailey, Alana Gilbert, Bullwinkle J. Moose, and Twins Dipper and Mabel Pines all end with what 5-letter word? Now, the glasses said Ville, V-I-L-L-E, and I thought that was interesting because that's a plausible answer to the question in terms of like what 5 letters would end X number of towns and cities throughout the United States. However, Ville's not a word, and so they missed that detail. The correct answer was Falls, as in gravity, of course, and so they missed that one. And the other one they missed was Perfection, the setting for the horror film Tremors and the title setting for the video game Silent Hill, are named in the same ironic way as Charming, the fictional California town at the center of what FX series from 2008 to 2014. The glasses said that the correct answer was American Horror Story, and this was the first time in playing the night where the answer they gave I knew was wrong because I'm an American Horror Story fan, and so I was, you know, accepting the answer the glasses gave. I did not remember the correct answer, in full disclosure. I didn't know Sons of Anarchy was the right answer, but I knew that that is not where presumably season one of American Horror Story Murder House took place, and so we honored that and we went with it. The glasses did not win the night. Shout out to Bok Bok Bitch. They won the night that the glasses played. But I thought it was interesting to take a step back and look at what they were capable of, because the glasses I have do have a darkened lenses. They're sunglasses. And so that would be conspicuous at a pub trivia night where why are you wearing sunglasses inside when it's nighttime? However, these glasses do make themselves available in clear lenses, and so they could presumably, especially from a distance, look like a normal pair of prescription lenses. And so I just thought, you know what, now that I have these, why not play with it with Russ's trivia, because Russ writes excellent trivia. It's a great combination of asking you direct questions with giving you back doors, which is kind of what I want to emulate here in lockdown and what I want to bring to the table. And so I wanted to play the game. They did very well. They are lights out on identifying artists of songs. And so the takeaway from it is perhaps moving forward, hosts, be aware of this as a precaution. But at the end of the day, if you write your questions creatively enough and force human understanding of the whole point of the question, you can still avoid AI where it is right now. Will that be the case forever? Maybe not. But for right now, if you're creative and you do a great job of your question crafting, you can avoid rote cheating from the Meta AI Ray-Ban glasses. Looking back on this episode and this season in general, I think we could talk for a long time about all the different stuff we learned, all the mistakes we made, and what we can improve upon moving forward. But I think that the big picture here is, how do you write good trivia? There are a couple key things that need to be a part of it. First of all, it needs to be human. I've played with AI a lot this season and tested it. I tested those Ray-Ban glasses and their ability to play Russ's online trivia. But when you're crafting questions, a really good trivia question has a hint of humanity in it. Is it clever? Is it a backdoor that we understand the nuance of? Is it playful wording? Whatever the case is, I think really good trivia forces the humanity aspect. Another thing I think makes good trivia is the accessibility. You have all these expert categories throughout the season, and some have been more accessible than others, which is the balance of the show in terms of making sure the player enjoys it as much as the listener. But most of these categories have been written in a way that you can still feel like you're part of it. Did you get every question? Absolutely not. But did you feel like you were in it? That was the goal. And so moving forward to season two, we're going to make some small changes in the way we ask questions, what kind of questions we're asking. But that big theme will stay. I want this to be accessible, and I want it to be as enjoyable for the player and the things they love as it is for the listener and the fact that they just love trivia. Some changes coming in season two include our bonus questions, so I want to make sure you guys know what to look forward to in a few weeks here. First of all, our When in the World is being replaced with Who in the World, and in light of that, let's go ahead and have our bonus question from this episode coming from our stage names category, since Who in the World is going to give you some context about a person and their real name, and you're going to try to identify their stage name. So here is your question. Better known by his stage name, Harold Lloyd Jenkins, born in September of 1933 and dying in June of 1993, was an American singer and songwriter, initially part of the 1950s rockabilly scene and eventually being inducted into the Country Music and Rockabilly's Hall of Fame under what stage name? While you're thinking of that, I want to tell you about the other changes coming in season two. Deep Cuts is finally being retired and is going to be replaced by our Billboard Buster. This is a generic music question that has some Billboard context, and I just think it's going to play better and more enjoyable and maybe a little bit, maybe just a little bit easier than Deep Cuts is going to play. Also, we are going to have our National Blank Day reflecting the day of airing instead of the day of recording, so that as you listen to the episodes, you'll be able to enjoy whatever day is going on. So some exciting changes coming, and as always, learning from the past and figuring out the best possible way to write increasingly difficult trivia in your own expert categories. The correct answer to the bonus question, and to celebrate Russ's category and our upcoming Who in the World, is Conway Twitty. Another exciting new thing happening for Lockdown is that we now have a store. You can check the link in the description of each episode to go buy Lockdown merch with our new logo. It is backed by one of the best in the business, Guardian Pro Line. Guardian Pro Line is a apparel company that primarily services esports programs at the high school and collegiate level all over the country. It's one of the biggest, and the guy behind that is none other than Darren Day. Darren will actually be on a season two episode of Lockdown Trivia. I think it's going to be a favorite for many, as it is an oops all 80s episode coming up. But Darren is a veteran and does a lot of work with our armed forces and their programs and getting them apparel as well. So I'm super excited to partner with Guardian Pro Line for this team store. A big thing for me was, if you are wanting to get Lockdown merch, I don't just want it to look good. I want it to be super high quality. And their sublimated merchandise stays good. You don't see the wear. It's super soft. It's just such high quality. And it backed my esports program for years. And that's why I knew it would be great for Lockdown as well. So check out the Lockdown merch and look for me wearing it at SporkleCon. Russ mentioned that he's going to be there. I will as well. I can't wait to be at the meet and greet on Thursday night, hosted by Jay Borsum, and then spend a wonderful weekend at SporkleCon getting to know you guys. Find the Lockdown logo on me and say hello. And I can't wait to meet you. I've got business cards that I'll be able to hand out if you want to stay in contact. And otherwise, I just can't wait to meet the people behind the voices I've got to know so well in the space. So thank you for a great season one, and I cannot wait for season two. As we wrap up season one of Lockdown Trivia, I want to thank everyone who's been on it so far. Brandon, Ben, Danielle, Joe, Marty, Chris, David, Luke, Nancy, DJ, Caleb, Blake, Ian, Carmella, Pratik, Tim, Jeff, Brian, Sheldon, Lucas, Jay, and Russ. You guys made the inaugural season of this podcast such a success, and I cannot wait for season two in a few weeks. We've got a fully scheduled season two, in fact, so I still encourage you guys to sign up for your own episode of Lockdown Trivia with a link in the description of any episode. You need four expert categories and your favorite music genre. It'll begin season three, so who knows what will happen, and who knows what you have learned by then. In the meantime, I cannot wait to continue to play, continue to research, and continue to write as we work together to unlock your guys' brains one key at a time. In the meantime, I'm going to enjoy the break, and we'll see you guys when we come back for season two of Lockdown Trivia.
Let me spoil something.
Okay.
For those of you out here who play pub quiz, your host is not that smart. It sounds like we know a lot because we're reading the questions and we have the answers in front of us, but
yeah,
that's just it. And the writers may have a broad knowledge, but certainly not deep. Like I'm a mile wide, but half an inch deep when it comes to a lot of this stuff. So
I think what's interesting is that it helps you, maybe if you don't recall it, having written this many questions, you certainly more than I have, you can at least help your teammates get there that know the stuff.
Yeah, if something gets triggered in the back of my mind about a question, and that's largely the knowledge base that I have is questions that I've written in the past. So